Welcome to Eat the Scroll, a University Fellowship Church podcast. My name is Chris Moore. We get together about twice a week to chew on God's word and share that with you. This week we have Jamie Harms with us. Hello, Jamie.
Hi, Chris.
Happy to have you.
Thank you.
Since last we spoke, you have put to bed feasts.
That's right. Our feasts are done. And so we're on to 1 John now.
That is exciting.
It is. It's been... We're three Thursdays into it so far, and it's been fantastic so far.
I cannot believe we're 3 weeks into this study.
I know.
That's astonishing.
You're already behind, Chris.
Yes, I am. No, Rachel has, my wife has been really enjoying the study. We are doing this in-house, so that's Brianna Hines, who has developed the Bible study, correct?
Yes, she has written it and she is teaching it, mm-hmm. which is great. It's fun to see her gifts just develop and flourish. And 1 John's a short book, but mm-hmm. we're going to take 8 weeks to go through it and just really nitpick some of those details out of the text.
Yeah.
And so it's good so far.
Yeah, it's nice when you can do that and know that you don't have 35 chapters to get through.
That is true.
You know, because you're like, okay, what do we leave on the, you know, cutting room floor and what do we actually dissect? So
exactly. Well, and it's great because 1 John is a book written by one of Jesus's disciples mm-hmm. who was one of the first ones called, walked through his ministry, just has a long history and has written other books of the Bible as well. And so while we're looking at 1 John, we actually can look at other of John's writings and kind of compare and contrast because he uses similar themes, similar wordings and topics. And so it sheds light on our short book of 1 John looking at the other writings of John as well.
Nice, nice. So you're kind of using it as a launch pad to understand like more cross-biblical concepts and ideas.
Exactly.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So what have you been chewing on as you're 3 weeks in this study?
Oh, lots. But I figured we'd start from the beginning because I love the introduction to 1 John. It's different than a lot of the other letters that we see. And he starts out the book saying that which was from the beginning, which that harkens back to Genesis 1, right? Mm-hmm. In the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have what we have seen and heard so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. And so it isn't just, hi, I'm Paul, and I'm writing to you, grace and peace be with you. But it starts in a very different manner mm-hmm. With really the testimony of how he knows Jesus. What I've seen, what I've heard, what I've touched, this is what I proclaim to you. And I think that's really awesome. And this has gotten me thinking, well, what are the ways that I have seen and heard and touched Jesus?
Yeah.
And because that becomes part of what we proclaim.
Mm-hmm. So why is that important to really meditate or remind ourselves of those things that we've encountered with God?
Mm-hmm. Well, God is a real being mm-hmm. who we have a real relationship with, and we experience our world around us through our five senses. And so this isn't just an intellectual assent mm-hmm. to there is a God out there, but it's somebody who we can actually know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's important to slow down and pause and remember the ways that we have seen and heard and experienced God through his word and through church and through others and through creation and what that means then for our faith going forward. It's not just something it's something tangible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's imminent. Mm-hmm. There is a here and now I've encountered. There's been a collision, so to speak, that's happened. I like to think about it in terms of Old Testament. Mm-hmm. My wife and I have referred to Ebenezers, mm-hmm. you know, yes. setting up these mental altars in a sense of like reminders. Like, remember when God did this?
Yes.
Remember when he did these things? And for me, in my experience, that has really illustrated a sense of hope that mm-hmm. is tangible that you need to have at the forefront of your mind as you go mm-hmm. through the uncertainties of life that can be hard sometimes.
Exactly. And that was part of the feasts, right? Mm-hmm. You know, there's something tangible that allows us to remember God's faithfulness so that we can trust and obey.
Mm-hmm.
And in John, he's writing this at the end of his life. So he's been with Jesus in his ministry and he's ministered for many, many, many years and he's coming back to the basics and how he has seen and heard and touched and experienced Jesus. And that is what he is proclaiming.
I find it interesting, and maybe you can speak to this some, sure. About how this this proclamation he's making, this mm-hmm. testimony, he says, is to produce in them a fellowship with John, with mm-hmm. the believers. Mm-hmm. So there's almost an evangelistic piece to proclaiming who God is, what he's done. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to the importance of how our stories can impact people in that way?
Certainly. So actually, I think Brianna did a great job explaining this. So I will do a less than great job than she did, so you'll have to ask her. But she really looked at the progression that we see in this passage. It starts with seeing, and then testifying, and then proclaiming, and then fellowship. So before we can testify or proclaim anything, we have to see it. We have to have that recognition of who God is and to see his work around us. And then she delineated the difference between testify and proclaim. As testify is we have an answer when asked, mm-hmm. whereas proclaim is when we initiate.
Yeah.
And so both are important. And as we start to see what God is doing and testify and proclaim, then that allows us to have a deeper fellowship and connection with one another, which produces joy. Mm-hmm. And so we can't skip steps. All of those are important to produce the intimacy and the fellowship that we have one another and the uniqueness of that fellowship with one another, unlike in a sports club or a country club, something that's in the world.
Right. Mm-hmm. I am reminded of Peter's proclamation, mm-hmm. when Jesus said, who am I? Who do they say I am? And when they say, some say you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist. Like, yeah, but who do you say I am?
Who do you say that I am?
He says, well, you're the Christ. He says, that's great. Right answer. Ding, ding, ding. But it wasn't the flesh that revealed this to you.
Yes.
You saw by the Spirit who I was. I think James says, even the demons believe. And so I like how you touched on that. We have to see, we have to have this impact that occurs when the Spirit pierces our hearts and mm-hmm. brings our, dead bodies and our dead souls back to life. And then that gives us the catalyst to springboard into the proclamations and the testimonies, be ready to make a defense. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So on and so forth.
Yeah.
But I think the unique thing that really struck me about this opening was just the nature of fellowship in there. Because like you said, the introduction here seems to be relatively unique from some of the other epistles that we've seen, but he's making a case that all of this was so we could be brothers with you.
And with the Father.
Right. Mm-hmm. And with the Father. So it's almost like we're inviting you into this, which is actually inviting you into this way bigger picture mm-hmm. with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. and this body of Christ thing. So where do we go from here? He's set up this thing. What's the first thing he's going to tell them once he's concluded this introduction?
Well, there's a lot of reoccurring themes that we see throughout 1 John, and one of them is loving your brother. Mm. And that ties in with light and darkness and a whole bunch of other things that keep cycling back on itself. But it's loving your brother and obeying God and confessing who Jesus is. And so over and over and over, the fruit of what it looks like to obey God is to obey his, or to love God is to obey his commands. And as mm-hmm. we do so, we love others as we love him. And so he's taking that fellowship piece and saying, you are to have fellowship, and this is going to look different from the world around you. And we know because we can see that you love your brother mm-hmm. is part of it. Wow. There's lots of stuff in there, but that's part of it.
Yeah. Well, that's really neat because it's one of those examples that we have really tangibly of when you sit down and you read, especially epistles, because usually they outline to some degree, like, mm-hmm. here's what I'm about. Here's what this letter is going to be about. But John has effectively hit all of his bases right in that first paragraph mm-hmm. that he's going to then really dig down into mm-hmm. as he continues his letter.
Well, and even in the next couple of verses, he's like, this is the message we've heard and declare to you that God is light and in him there is no darkness. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you start to see that that is the main message that they are giving, that God is light. And so because he is light, this is what it looks like to walk in the light versus walk in the darkness. And walking in the light involves loving your brother and fellowship with one another and with God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he says, I'm inviting you into this fellowship.
Yes.
It's not just with me, it's with the Father. Now, here's how you know this is the real deal.
Yes.
It's because of these things.
In fact, if you were to go through 1 John with colored pencils, which I always like colored pencils, so you should always do so, but and mark everything that says to the one who, you get all these contrasts of the one who loves his brother abides with me, the one who doesn't love his brother makes him out to be, there's all of these contrasts of, well, what does it look like to walk in the light versus walk in the darkness?
Man. So
grab your colored pencils.
Yeah. I love these portions of scripture because for me, any chance I can get something that's dummy proof, I'm going to take it. If you make this foolproof for me, I'm a happy camper. But when you see these clear contrasts between good, bad, do, don't do, you know, the fool, the wise man, I don't know, maybe that just speaks to the way my mind thinks, or maybe the things our culture values. But it's much easier to digest and go, this makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
So I value that. So what would be, someone's considering this petition from John, and what would be the takeaway you would want somebody to have as they're considering these things?
Well, one of the things that Brianna challenged us to, which I think is a fantastic takeaway, is to actually sit and think about how have I seen, how have I heard, how have I touched Jesus, and what does that look like? Because that is part of our testimony, but that we testify and that we proclaim. And so just starting there, read through the scripture, think back on those Ebenezers that you had mentioned. When were the times that you saw God is faithful? How do you know him? Jen Wilkin often says, we cannot love what we do not know. As we jump in and we read scripture and we start to ask our questions, well, what is this showing us about our God? And those are part of it too, that we get to see and hear and be a part of. And so just to slow down and think about, well, how do we know? How have we seen? What is the testimony that I have of who God is and his goodness to us?
Wow. I could not add a single thing to that. I love that. That's super good stuff. I agree 100% with all of the things on that list. And what a good reminder for an exercise that we ought to be participating. You know, we've heard numerous times, I'm sure, that we need to preach the gospel to ourselves every single day. Which, as Christians, you think, wow, I don't need the gospel. I already got the gospel. It's a one-time deal. If it changes, he'll let me know.
Preach it to ourselves and to our spouse and to our kids and to our friends every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. And I'm sure we will get you here soon.
Indeed.
All righty. See you guys next time. Well, thanks for listening. Thank you to our guests for coming and sharing what they've been chewing on in God's Word. We produce these podcasts and release them twice a week, so please subscribe so you don't miss out on one. And don't forget, love God, love your neighbor, and make disciples.